Please open your Bibles to the 7th chapter of Romans, Romans chapter 7, beginning with verse 15 on page 1200 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading verses 15 through 25. Read these verses responsibly. Romans 7, verses 15 through 25, page 1200. And may we please stand for the reading of God's Word. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do not, but for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God, after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the of death? And verse 25 together also. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And let's pray. And Lord, thanks so much for your word. Thank you for the preaching that we're privileged to hear week by week. The preaching that's faithful to thy word and how good it is to see that which happens in the lives of mankind. Thank you for all who are saved under the preaching of this thy word. And thank you for the changed lives. Thank you for that which makes this church what it is. And we pray for your blessing upon this service, on our preacher, and help us as we hear the word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, I feel tonight that this message is probably needed by more people in this room than any sermon I've preached in recent years. And because it is needed, I need your help more as I preach it. I want to help the people in this room are the people that I love more than all the rest of the world put together. And I want to help them tonight. And I believe you and I can do it together, so help them to hear me. Amen. Now let me preface what I'm going to say with this. We're all too prone to judge a sermon and its effectiveness on the basis of whether it's what we believe or not. We say that was a good sermon, usually if what was said is what we believe, then if the way it was said is how we believe in saying it. If that be true, a lot of you folks are not going to think this is a good sermon tonight. Now please, let me help you tonight. Let me help you. I'm not talking about let me encourage you. I'm talking about let me help you. Now, there are two things you can do tonight, one or two things. You can say, he doesn't understand my problems. Now, of course, there are problems here that I don't understand. Or you can say, well, I just don't believe that. But what you're going to do is you're going to go ahead with your problem that I could have helped you solve if you'd listened to me. Now, there's some areas where I preach that I feel a little bit like a novice. But the area in which I'm going to travel tonight, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, why don't you give up on yourself? You don't need to turn to it. I want to read you one verse. This verse will give you the idea what I'm preaching on. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The last line. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of a sound mind. God is the author of a sound mind. And there are people all over this room tonight who need to have a sound mind, and you're going every which way in the world to get it except where it is. So I'm trying to help you. It's not going to be one of those messages where I'm going to do like Brother Vanneman did. I'm going to call you dirty, low down, stinking, sorry, good for nothing. Though I think that, I'm not going to call you that tonight. But I want to help you. And don't rebel against me. I'm doing fine. This is for your own good. So if you want to let roll off your back and go ahead with your nervous breakdown, go right ahead. I mean, you got one plan. You don't want to call it off. Go ahead and have it. But I can help you tonight. There's not one person in this room, and there just maybe not one person alive, who carries a heavier load than this man carries you're listening to right now. I help head up a college. That alone is a full-time job. I help head and control and operate 4 other schools. I preach over 1,000 sermons a year. I write a book a year. Last year, over 7,000 people came to my office for counseling. I try to keep this empire here going financially and keep everything balanced so we can keep the bills paid. We don't have any money. But I'll bind you one thing, Buster. We pay our bills. We pay our bills. I know what I'm talking about. But you say, Brother Howes, I got more on me than I can carry. Now, you listen to me. You don't have near as much on you as I've got on me. I doubt if there is a human being in the ministry in America today who gets more criticism than I get. I think the main reason for that is because of the size of the church. It's not a church this size in fundamentalism today. I live with it. Have for 41 years. I live with it. And yet, I'll guarantee you, my mind is as quick tonight as it was 40 years ago when I started. I work hard. I have no vacation planned for the summer, or for any summer for the last 20 years. I know what I'm talking about. I'm in a field tonight where I'm qualified to help you. And I want to say this, and I'm going to make somebody mad, hurt somebody's feelings, but bristle if you want to, but how are you doing mentally? Get mad at me if you want to, but how are your emotions getting along? Now, you need some help, and you're looking to a guy that can help you. And I can save you a lot of money from going to these stupid psychologists and psychiatrists. I can save you a lot of money if you listen to what God has to say. Once a person becomes a Christian, he faces a real dilemma. He opens his Bible, he begins to read. He reads that we're supposed to live like Christ. He reads that we're supposed to love like Christ. He reads that we're supposed to talk like Christ. He reads we're supposed to love our enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use us. Bless those who curse us. He reads we're supposed to worry about nothing. He reads we're supposed to be thankful for everything. He reads we're supposed to rejoice always. He reads we're supposed to deny ourselves. Now, folks, that's a pretty big order. So what happens? Dozens of other demands are made on us by the Word of God. So we find it humanly impossible to do those things. And it is. There's no way that you're going to be able
to live and love and walk and talk like Christ, to love your enemies, worry about nothing, be thankful for everything, rejoice always, deny yourself and the dozens of other demands the Bible gives to us. We find it humanly impossible to do these things, and so we say it's hopeless. Now listen to me. There are three stages to the Christian life. Stage number one, when it's easy. Stage number two, it gets difficult. Stage number three, it becomes impossible. Now those are the three stages, and those stages take place as you grow in grace. When you're first a Christian, the Christian life looks easy. As you live the Christian life for a while, it looks difficult. And as you grow in grace and mature in the Lord, you find it becomes impossible. We've said so often, get in there and do your best. I'm sorry, but your best is not enough. Your best is not enough to save you, and your best won't be enough to sanctify you. Do your best to love your enemies. Your best is not enough. Do your best not to worry about anything. Your best is not enough. Do your best to be thankful for everything. Your best is not enough. Your best was not enough to save you, and your best is not enough and will not be enough to help you live the Christian life. What can I do then? What can I do? I have a dilemma here. I become a Christian. I see all these things in the Bible I'm supposed to do. Well, good night. How is it possible not to ever worry? How is it possible to love those that hate you and pray for those that are trying to destroy you? How is it impossible? How is it possible? How can you do it? You do it when you let Him, hear me now, when you let Him work through you. You cannot live the Christian life. He must live it through you. The same way you got saved. How'd you get saved? Tried to save yourself by living a good life and you failed. Tried to save yourself by joining a church and you failed. You tried to save yourself by getting baptized and you failed. You tried to save yourself by earning it and you failed. And what did you do? You came to a place in your life where you said, I can't do it. Here I am, Jesus. Do it. That's exactly the way you do these other things. You try, you fail. Now listen carefully to me. If you want to have a sound mind, and if you want to have any vestige of meeting the demands I mentioned a while ago, here's the way you do it. Just like you got saved. You come to God, and you say, Dear God, I know I can't do it. I know I cannot have a sound mind. I'm frustrated. I've tried to love my enemies and I can't. I've tried not to worry and the more I try not to worry, the more I worry. I try to rejoice about everything and find myself finding it difficult to rejoice about everything. Now listen to me. Hear me carefully. What you do is this. You say, Dear God, I come to You and I trust You just as I trusted You to do all of salvation, I trust You to work through me so I can become what I ought to become. And I say this. I'd say, God, I trust You to do it, and I believe You're doing it right now. How did you know you got saved? You got saved because the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You took God's gift of eternal life on the basis of God's plan of salvation. Well, the same Savior that said, the same God that said, the gift of God's eternal life said, My peace I give unto thee. So how do you get God's peace? How do you get a sound mind? It's a gift, just like salvation. Well, how did you get salvation? You got salvation by trusting Jesus and believing He did it because the Bible says He would. And the same Bible that says He'll give you salvation says He'll give you peace of mind and a sound mind, and you've got to claim it by faith and believe you have it because God says He'd give it to you. How do I know I have a sound mind? How do I know I have peace of mind? How do I know I have joy? How do I know it? I know it because, bless your little pea-picking heart, I trusted Jesus to give it to me, and I don't think Jesus will ever make a promise He doesn't fulfill. And when He said, "My peace I give unto you, not the peace that the world giveth, not the peace the psychiatrist giveth," He says, "not the peace the psychologist gives," and I'm declaring war on that crowd. I haven't got the answer. Brother, I've got the answer right here. Now you sit there and rebel if you want to and say, "I don't believe that," and He doesn't understand me, and go right on your confused pathway, but you're looking at a fellow tonight who carries a load with a sound mind and who enjoys life, who has folks shooting at him all the time, but enjoys life. I know what I'm talking about. You appropriate the peace of God by faith just like you appropriate salvation by faith. Oh, if I could help you tonight. This is the cause of our frustration. We're trying to meet the demands of God. We have an old nature, a new nature. We're trying to reconcile and we're trying to educate the old nature. We're trying to make the old nature spiritual. Well, He's as rotten as He always was. He'll never get spiritual. So, what do? First thing we do, we try to keep the law. Well, brother, the more you keep the law, the more you're going to reveal your need. Because the law is a mirror that shows us our need. And the very fact that you try to keep the law means that it'll reveal more of your weakness and you'll see yourself weaker than you were than you saw yourself before you tried to keep the law. So what do you do then? We feel like failures and depression sets in. Now listen to me. I know some of you folks don't like what I'm going to say. And by the way, the folks that don't like it are the folks that are having the depression. Won't you listen to somebody that doesn't get depressed? I'll bind you one thing. That psychologist you've been going to has got pills in his drawer. I don't have to take ha-ha pills. I've appropriated God's peace and God's joy the same way I appropriated God's salvation. Let me take a little tranquilizer here. I don't have to have ha-ha pills. I ha-ha all the time. I don't have to take boo-hoo pills. I have compassion on folks I love all the time. I don't have to take peace pills. I've got the gift of the peace of God. How do you know you got it? Do you feel it? Not any more than you feel salvation. I know I got it because I believe that book right there, and the same God that told me that salvation was a gift of God tells me that His peace is a gift of God. Boy, that's good. I just feel like a failure. Well, then start succeeding. I love what I told that security guard one time years ago. We're walking the night to the front door of the house. He said, "Brother House, what's the best way to overcome lying?" I said, "The best way I've ever found out is just tell the truth." The fellow said, "How do you overcome adultery?" I decided to guess the best way is to be clean. I'd say purity would be the best way. Well, I feel like a failure. Well, you won't feel like a failure if you'll do what I'm talking about. If you will appropriate by faith God's gift of peace, just like you appropriated by faith God's gift of salvation, you won't have any need to be depressed. I just don't believe I can take it anymore. Oh, yes, you can. I can't go any farther. Now, listen to me. You know what you're doing. You're trying to get somebody to feel sorry for you. Listen, some of you guys say to your wife, "I just can't go any farther." You let her cross you and you'll get so mad you'll go a lot farther. Same thing's true with some of you wives. "I can't go another step." She grabs a butcher knife, tries to kill you. Yeah, you got more steps to go. In fact, the old man better take some steps quick. But I'm saying that, look, here's what will happen. I know what will happen tonight. The people that agree with me are saying amen, and the folks that are happy in the Lord and have appropriated by faith God's gift of the peace of God like they appropriated by faith God's gift of salvation are saying amen and praise the Lord. And a bunch of folks sitting here right now who are saying, "I don't believe that. That's too simple. I don't believe it," are going to continue in your depressed state of mind, in your melancholy spirit. You don't have to. God is not the author of confusion. He is the author of a sound mind. So we fail there, and so we try to think something's physically wrong. Now, I'm not saying that you don't get physically sick. I think you do. But now, you listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you. My Bible doesn't say, my peace do I give to well people. My Bible doesn't say, my peace do I give to everybody that's not sick. Some of the happiest, sweetest saints of God I've ever met were the sickest. So what do we do? What do they call this? Maniac depressant? Manic depressant. Okay. Same thing. I'm not talking now about mental illness. Now, I'm not talking about folks that have... I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you Christian people that are always depressed. Now, you don't have to be. Either the Bible's true or the Bible's not true. If the Bible's true, He said, my peace give I unto thee. These things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. That's what God said. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what He said. You can have joy. You can have peace. You can be optimistic. Oh, yeah. We'll have your checkup. I'm not against checkups. I'm for checkups. I'm not against it. Somebody's going to say tonight, you're against... I'm not against checkups. Not at all. I'm not at all. But I'm telling you this. Your checkup and what the doctor does is not going to give you peace of mind. Some of the most mentally confused folks I know in the whole world, and most of the disturbed people, are in perfect health. I think if you've got something wrong with you, you ought to go check on it. Physically, I'm for it. Don't anybody ever say Brother Hiles is against checkups. Dr. Evans has not been real well. And in a case like that, I think you ought to have... If, I'm not talking about what he's got, like mental illness. I'm not talking about that. But he's not been well physically. And he went and had a checkup. And I'm for it. And I wanted him to go. And I'm glad he went. I hope they find out what's wrong with him. I'm for it. But it is not... I'm sick and tired of people blaming their unhappiness and lack of joy on a gallbladder. Some of the happiest folks in this room tonight are not well. So, I'm saying, folks, if you'd listen to what I'm telling you, I can... Oh, rebel. Go ahead. Go ahead. Just go ahead. And in many cases, if you are emotionally upset, so you go to a physical doctor. That's like going to a podiatrist to have your eyes checked. If you've got emotional problems, I'm not talking about mental illness. I'm talking about sadness, melancholy spirit. Go to Dr. Jesus and appropriate His joy, His peace by faith. So that doesn't work. So we go to... I've been waiting to get here. We go to the Christian psychologist. We say Christ is the answer. Now, I want to tell you something. Why don't you check with the people who've gone? I dare you. I dare you. Check with the people who've gone. See how they're doing now. The Christian psychologist is going to give you the same old psychology because he didn't learn that at Howells Anderson College. He learned that at the same heathen university where the unchristian psychologist learned it. And the same thing he's going to... I guarantee you, they'll do the same thing to you in a so-called Christian psychologist office they'll do in a heathen psychologist office. If you've got mental illness, you need to go to psychiatric care. I'm not against that at all. But I'm simply saying, if you're not happy in the Lord, there's something wrong spiritually and not physically or mentally. So we go and pay a guy $100 an hour to listen to our pity party. Look, come to me, I'll do it for 50. He sits there and says, what's your problem? You tell him for an hour and he says, come back next week. Now, again, I'm not talking to you folks that are nuts. I'm talking to you idiots. God is the author of a sound mind. So, we say Christ is the answer. We don't mean it. We don't mean that. Well, when you say Christ is the answer, what do you mean? Oh, it's a beautiful little cliche. I'll tell you how Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer because when you are lost and you need to get saved, you can appropriate eternal life into your own soul by accepting God's gift by faith and believing that God has given it to you. God never wrote in the sky and told me I'm going to heaven when I die. He wrote it in the book. I was sitting in a motel room that night. I was watching the news, and the news went off. Oral Roberts came on. And I just wanted to see how much it's going to cost to keep him alive this year. I know I wasn't going to send it in. And old Oral, he said, I don't like Oral Roberts or oral surgery. And he said, hold it. Hold it. He pointed right at me. And he said, I have a message from heaven. I went over to the table and got my Bible and pointed right back to him. And I said, so do I. So do I. And I said, Buster, I'm telling the truth and you're lying. How is Christ the answer? You appropriate the peace of God in your soul just like you appropriated salvation. It's by faith, and once you put your faith in that and you believe that actually, if you know the plan of salvation, trust Jesus and believe you're saved, that's what it is. And that's what the peace of God is. We got too many students out to college cracking up. We got too many pill poppers out there. I'm not talking about heroin. I'm talking about aspirins. Now, I don't take a bottle of aspirins. Look, your temperature is going to be a minus 10. That was funnier than that. I didn't get near the response I deserved. But I'm saying that God's peace is a gift. Everything that God has, all of God's cupboards are unlocked by the key of faith. Everything that God has is obtained by faith. And what is faith? Faith is coming to God and saying, God, I want your peace. And I appropriate that peace just like I appropriated salvation. And I trust you to give it to me. I trust you to give me joy. And dear God, I believe right now the power is coming in. Not, I tingle, I feel it, it's coming. No, I believe it's coming in because He said it was coming in. You can get that kind of feeling you got by eating too many onions. I'm talking about I believe. Lord, I'm now letting your power flow through me. I'm accepting your power. I'm accepting your peace. I'm accepting your joy by faith. And I know now that joy is coming through me. Why? You said it would. Oh, I wish I could help you. I really do. I know we got folks all that place. You're bristling like Eddie's hair right now. But I'm telling you the answer, folks. So what do you do then? Well, in order to give you a happy mind, you've been to the doctor to ask him if your gallbladder's caused you to be unhappy. Or maybe your gizzard. And so you come back from him, you're still unhappy, aren't you? Confess it to yourself, not to me. Be honest with yourself. When you got back, you still didn't feel good, did you, mentally? Folks, if you need your toenails cut, you don't go to a barber. So then you go to the psychologist. Listen to me. And you tell him a bunch of stuff that nobody ought to ever tell anybody in the world but God Himself. We've deified these buzzards. You tell him the intimacies of your life so he won't have to buy the National Enquirer and get the same thing from you. You know, America was better off before we even knew what the word meant. When I became a manic depressant, my mama cured that just like that. But folks, Jesus can give you joy. I mean, He can give you peace. I know what I'm talking about. Not peace because you flee from the storm, but peace in the storm. Not peace outside the battle, but peace inside the battle. He can give you joy, but you get it, and I say it again, you don't get it going here and yonder, you get it the same way, bless God, you got saved. Well, that hadn't worked. By the way, I dare you to check the people that have tried the psychologist for joy and peace. I dare you to check it. So then what do? You quit your jobs. What jobs? Oh, the Lord's jobs, of course. Of course. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I'll give you a rest. How does He give it to you? Tells you the next verse. Take my yoke upon you. Take my Sunday school class upon you. Take my bus route upon you. Take my soul winning program upon you. Take my preaching upon you. Take my work upon you. That's the way you get rest and peace. If you let Him work through you. So we quit our jobs. That's what the psychiatrist said to do. And then, that doesn't work. So we rush down to the bookstore to get all the books we can. Do you have a book on peace of mind? Yes, I happen to have one right now. You have a book on 15 ways not to be depressed? I got one right here. Read the book. I don't mean a verse a day with a poem from a daily devotional book. I don't mean that. I mean, live in the book! Live in the book! So you get all these books. At least you're doing a better job. The books are cheaper than the psychologist. We got too many preachers that are going in the psychologist business. All that going to hellfire and brimstone preaching business. So then what do? We tried to keep the law. We tried to find something physically wrong so we can get the joy of the Lord. Then we went to the Christian psychologist. And then we quit the jobs we have for the Lord. And then we trotted down to the bookstore to find all the books written by a bunch of fellows that couldn't build a church, but they didn't want to quit the ministry, so they got them something like that. I know these birds. I know them personally. You listen to an old codger tonight. I've been around. I know all these guys. These fellows you're paying $100 an hour for, I know them. I know them. They tried to preach and couldn't preach their way out of a paper sack and couldn't draw flies, so they decided to write a book. You don't like it? Swallow it. Won't taste bad long. You can go and get your brain examined tomorrow morning and get over the nervousness of having to hear me preach tonight. So we read all the books. That's it. And what we do? We seek pity. And what we do? I just feel like I need somebody to talk to. Well, glory to God, you got somebody to talk to. What you're saying when you say that is Jesus is not enough. I never talk to anybody about my burdens or problems but Him, and bless God, I'm happy. What do you want to do? You want to hear it? You want to say it again? What you doing? You won't believe me. I know it. I'm not hoping really tonight to try to help anybody that's already in this kind of a rut. I'd like to keep some of you people out of it, never have been in it. And the more you talk about it, the digger you deep. The more you talk about it, the deeper you dig. My mind's confused tonight. Irma, make me an appointment tomorrow morning, would you please? Look under "sh" in my book for shrink. But we dig the hole deeper and deeper. The more you talk about it, the deeper you get in it. And so self-pity. I'll bind you this. I've had a few hurts in my time. But I do not know what the word self-pity means. Why should anybody look at me? Why should anybody pity himself when a mansion is being prepared in heaven for him right now? Why should anybody pity himself when his name is written in the book of life? Why should anybody pity himself when God is his Father and Jesus is his Savior and the Holy Spirit is his Comforter and the Bible is his book and salvation is his possession and heaven's his home and the rapture's his blessed hope? Pray tell me, what on earth could make you want to pity yourself? I just don't know how I'm going to face tomorrow. I've gone as far as I can go. I don't know how to spell this word, so I'll just pronounce it. You haven't gone as far as you can go. You bypassed the first stop, which is the answer. Appropriating by faith the peace of God. And so, you go deeper and deeper and deeper. In your self-pity, I don't understand it. But you said, Brother Hiles, if you had my blood pressure, you just wouldn't. You wouldn't talk like that. I don't know what your blood pressure is, and I don't know what mine is. I don't want to know. I took it one time, and must have been real good because I made the best grade of anybody that took it. Top of the class. I'm saying that, but Brother Hiles, have you checked your biorhythm lately? I thought biorhythm was a course you took in high school. I know what biorhythm is. Well, yeah, but you're just, Brother Howard, you're just a, let's see if I can make out of it. You're just a, what is it? Yeah, you're just a sanguine. I ate one of those one time. I didn't like it much. Look. Somebody tonight is saying, I'll have you know I took those courses in school. You can confess those sins as long as they're the sinners and the altar is sinners. What you need is to get on your face for peace, just like you got on your face for salvation, and accept God's gift of peace and accept God's gift of joy. Would you tell me why any born-again, blood-washed believer for whom Jesus died, who's on his way to glory land, who's got the Holy Spirit living in his body, would you tell me why we ought to be depressed? Brother Howes, do you ever get depressed? You're alone a lot. I'm never alone. Never alone. Brother Howes, how can you study when you're on the road? You don't have your library with you. Oh, yes, I have 66 books. Yeah. Now, you listen to me. You folks that are upset with me right now, and you listen for a minute. How are you doing? You folks upset, how are you getting along? Why don't you listen to somebody that can help you? And say what you want to say. Call me an egotist. What are you going to call me? I can help you on this point. I know what I'm talking about. I know 10,000 times more than your psychologist knows about peace. I know 10,000 times more than your psychologist knows about joy. I know what I'm talking about. And I know, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll get on your knees and you'll say, Dear Jesus, back yonder one day I trusted you for salvation. I tried to save myself and couldn't. I tried to work my way to heaven and couldn't. And Jesus, I came to the place where I quit trying to do it and relied upon you to do it. I believe I'm saved because you said I'm saved. Now, dear Jesus, I don't have peace in my heart. You said your peace you would give to me, not the peace the world giveth, but your peace. And I accept that peace tonight. And I believe I'm getting it right now. I believe that peace is flowing into me right now, not because I feel it, but because you said it, and because I'm trusting you for peace just like I trusted you for salvation. And you can have it. You say, I did that, and I didn't have it. That's because you didn't think you had it. When you trust Him, you believe He'll do what He says. Dr. Evans said something. I probably shouldn't have mentioned his illness tonight because he's not the first person to ever have brain cancer, but I shouldn't be bringing this up. That's one thing you'll never have to worry about is brain cancer. He went to Mayo, they x-rayed his brain, found nothing. But he said something the other day. I loved it. I was talking to him about his health, and he said, and I preached a sermon the Sunday morning before on just today. Live today. Just make today a microcosm. Make today your whole life. You got born this morning, you're going to die tonight. Just make it today. I was talking to Doc about his health. He said, Preacher, he said, the sermon you preach Sunday morning, he says, a good sermon. He said, that's one sermon that I really didn't need because he said, I'm that way. I live for today. And he said, I never think much about tomorrow. That's why he's happy, though he's being checked to find out what's wrong with him. Folks, you don't have to be unhappy. Jesus purchased for you on the cross His joy, just like He purchased your salvation. And it's yours by faith. Just get up in the morning. Every morning. Listen to me now. Every morning, get up. Get on your knees and say, Jesus, I accept Your gift of peace and joy today. And then just stand there and say, it's coming in right now. Not because you feel it, but because He said it. And then after you stand there for a while, just tell Him, fill her up. Don't ask Him for a dollar's worth. Just say, fill her up. After you stood there for a while, say, bless God, I have joy. Bless God, I have peace. And if you'll bless God because you think He did it, you'll have it. You're doubting God. It's a wonderful thing we have in Jesus. Everything is by faith. Everything is by appropriating it. And faith is believing that He does what He says He would do when you claim in the Bible what He says. God is not the author of confusion. He's the author of a sound mind. I've lived, and I'm through now. I've lived with what we call pressure for 40 years. I never preach, probably at home or away, without enemies in the audience. I'm sure I'm preaching right now to some enemies. Well, how doesn't that depress you? No. Well, why doesn't it? Because I got full up with joy. When that depression tried to get in, there was a no vacancy sign. Couldn't get in. I was already full. I've lived 41 years like this. And I'll close with this. Many of you know the pressures of a preacher. You know the pressures, and you know some of my pressures. But you haven't got the foggiest idea, because you never heard me say it. And you won't hear me say it, because I won't say it. Because if I say it, I'll dig a hole, and I'll deep it bigger. And deep it bigger. And I'll keep on deepening it bigger. And digger and digger and digger. Did you ever tell somebody how to be saved? And they say, I just don't believe it's that easy. And you just want to reach out and grab them and shake them and say, let it in! That's what I feel right now. Because you're saying the same thing to me right now in your mind that the sinner says to you when you go soul-winning, I just don't believe it's that easy. And when you try to use all these extracurricular stuff I've talked about tonight to get peace of mind and joy in your soul, you're doing exactly the same thing the sinner does. You're doing the same thing he does when he goes across the street over and confesses his sins to Papa. You're doing the same thing he does when he tries to earn salvation, when they crawl up the sacred stairs in Rome, trying to earn their work their way to heaven. You're doing the same thing, because both of them are by grace through faith and appropriating God's salvation by grace through faith. And when you say it's not that easy, you're doing the same thing. Why don't you find somebody who has the joy of God and find out how he got it? He'll tell you it's easy. Got it from Jesus. We appropriated it by faith. Just as easy to have joy as it is to have salvation. It's just as easy to get peace as it is to get saved. By faith. I'm going to quit, Father. I really wish I could help. Oh, you know I would. I wouldn't hurt anybody for the world unless it'd shake them into some sanity about the Word of God. Christ, you are the answer. Savior, you have the answer. Savior, your book is the answer.